Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
And that one's hit well deep in the left field. And Alvarez has done it again. Oh, my goodness. He has put the Astros in front. A two-run home run makes it 3-2 Houston.
That was fun. Jordan Alvarez was an absolute murderer. Those first two games for the Astros against the Mariners in last year's American League Divisional Series. The Astros, of course, swept a series that was, I thought, the most difficult that they played throughout the postseason. Yes, even over that of Philadelphia. And now, after losing 3 of 4 to the Mariners last time they played, the Astros will play a Mariners team that has been red hot since July 6th, which is when that series against the Astros began. The Mariners have the second best record. It's tied with Baltimore in all of baseball. Only LA's been better. The Rangers have the fifth best. The Astros have the sixth best. So I think this is going to be a fun series. Go to Minute Maid Park. Do all those things that the Mariners fans threatened that they were going to do to the Astros out there. They're going to need you. You can't show up late. I know that's a you thing. It's the weekend, and I get it. There might be rush hour traffic on a Friday. Get there. Get to the game.
What's the from the Mariners like comment section thing where it's like, make their life miserable?
Yeah. Hey, I'll say this about Mariners fans, who I do like, even though you guys probably don't. They are loud. And considering that that organization is a joke with a cheapskate owner, I got to say, like, they deserve a lot of credit for their loyalty. I don't think things were quite as loyal when it comes to the Astros from 2011 through 2015. I don't think it was there. And I'll admit it. I mean, I didn't even watch the team. What was the point?
It was almost impossible to watch them.
Right. I mean, it wasn't just me. That's true, Sean. I forgot about that.
Not just like qualitatively. Like, it was actually impossible to watch.
I forgot. I had Comcast, so for me, it wasn't tough, but you're right.
Must be nice.
I mean, I getting satellite down here, I don't know. I've never understood satellite. Like, why would you get satellite? You got to install the dish. Like, if storms go, it like busts up. Like, Sunday Ticket, that was the only reason to get satellite. And people were getting, like, just dish, not even DirecTV.
Yeah, my parents had dish for a little while. And it would drive me insane during the summers when I was home alone. And there would be, like a two-hour rain shower. It's like, I just cannot watch TV now. I'm off the grid.
No, obviously, it hasn't rained in, like, 100 days here. And it's been 100 degrees plus for 100 days in a row.
Well, yeah.
Or so. So
now would be the time to have
satellite. This is a good time to have dish TV. Hell yeah. Paul Gallant here for Dish TV. Please don't rain.
Make global warming work for you.
What are the Houston Texans going to do Saturday night against the Miami Dolphins? They wrapped up their joint practices with the Dolphins yesterday. Here is what D'Amico Ryans had to say about what they accomplished.
Well, talk to us about what you got out of these 2 days. Was there anything you did get out that you wanted?
Yeah, I thought these past 2 days were very productive. I think yesterday was good, and we came back today and had another really good day of practice, and it went really well to me. Got really good looks offensively, defensively, against different schemes, different players, and we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish out of it.
What did they want to accomplish out of it is what I wonder about. And I think the big thing, and we're going to talk about DJ Bieniemy about it in just a little bit, is that I want to see CJ Stroud get the ball out a little bit more quickly. There he is, the man himself, the one and only DJ Bieniemy, wearing his hashtag Unite Louisville t-shirt, because the man wants everyone to know that just like I'm a fabulous dresser, he is ex-track star at the University of Louisville.
I don't think I wear this because
I do.
I want people to know that.
Yeah, I do. Listen, you don't want to be intimidated by the biggest athlete on the Paul Gallant show.
What? What?
Flag football legend Paul Gallant here, along with DJ Bieniemy. DJ, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We talked about it on the Talkin' Texans podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. The last 2 days of joint practice for the Houston Texans. for CJ Stroud, a bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
What did you see?
Yeah, I mean, mixed bag for sure. They're flashy. I just tweeted it out. Like, on Saturday, what I want to see is consistency, a clean operation, because throughout joint practices, there were flashes, but you can't rely on flashes in the NFL.
Right.
That's how you fizzle out, you know? There are plays where he would extend, make a play, and there are other instances where you would see CJ hold the ball, either get sacked, check down, or throw an incompletion, right? Like, there were moments where him and Dalton were connecting, right? Or moments where him and Tank were connecting, and moments where him and Nico had a connection or two, right? But again, moments, not a long duration of consistency in that aspect, right? So what you want to see on Saturday, because again, it's going to be vanilla. It's not that Vic Fangio is going to throw a whole bunch of exotic blitzes and exotic fronts and exotic coverages at him. It's going to be very vanilla. It's for him to trust what he sees and gets the ball out. Make sure his eyes are where they need to be pre-snap and make sure they go where they need to go post-snap. I know that can sound a little tricky, but pre-snap, sometimes if your eyes are where they're supposed to be pre-snap, then they'll be where they need to be post-snap. Now, if they're not where they're supposed to be pre-snap, then post-snap, it can look like a complete fire tire, you know? So that's all I truly want to see on Saturday, is for him to just have a clean operation.
That's exactly what I was saying. And I'm you almost echoed exactly where I'm at. It's not about flashiness. Get the ball out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if it's a check down, if it's right. throwing it away, right. especially with what we think is likely going to be an offensive line that's just as shaky as it was on Thursday.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I think, the evolution from game one to game two, is not trying to run like 10 yards away from defensive linemen. They're going to catch you.
Right.
It's make the smart, more of a veteran kind of play. He's a rookie.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and he is a rookie. And I think we have to always preface that. I had someone ask me my Twitter DMs, like, when should I be concerned about CJ Stroud? I'm like, why would you even be concerned? Like, it's way too early to even.
I'm with you.
And I'm like, I said, you should be concerned year two, like week six or eight, if like things look shaky. Because year two is when they're supposed to take like a substantial leap to the point where they look like a competent NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want, okay, now can they take that next leap into that good, very good to great range, right? I ain't going to say take a leap into the elite status, because again, like, that's just, when you draft a quarterback that high, you're not trying to get an elite all-time great quarterback. You're trying to get a guy that can compete with the best of the best in the game at that point. And he doesn't have to be elite to do that. Some guys, their A game can match a Patrick Mahomes or match a Josh Allen or match a Joe Burrow. It's just that they're not as consistent throughout the season of being able to have that A plus performance week in and week out, where a guy like Mahomes can. Like, that's why he's the standard, right? He can do that every single week, right? But you just want a guy that can, at his best, develop into a guy that can possibly, you have the hope that, oh yeah, he can match the best of the best quarterbacks throw for throw. And obviously with CJ, he's a rookie, so you want him to develop into that, but he might not get to that till like year three, maybe year four, and that's okay, right? We don't need to rush his development and need to be the finished product right now, you know?
We're very reactionary now. I posted on my YouTube channel a video from yesterday's show, and it was about how, hey, CJ's been struggling. It's been a mixed bag at these joint practices. Part of that's probably the offensive line. Part of that's the receivers. But part of it's him, too.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, oh, my God, the sky is falling. And I don't know when we got to this point where we're so, I guess, spoiled into believing that we're going to see these young quarterbacks do stuff right away.
I think, obviously, you had Dak, that his rookie year in 2016. I think that's when the tide started to change, where you saw rookie quarterbacks hit the ground running and playing at a very high level.
It's a small sample size, though. You know, with Dak, Russell Wilson, right. and those two were completely unexpected.
And they were on really, 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 really good teams, yes. You know? So, and I also think, like, what really threw it all out of whack was when Josh Rosen got traded after his rookie year. That's what really threw it all out of whack.
And that's a bad organization. Remember the report cards? Right, how many Fs the Cardinals got?
Right, exactly. So, like, I think that's was when people were like, oh, if the guy doesn't look like the guy, you can move off after year one. Like, people were talking about moving off of Tua after year one. People were talking about moving off Jalen Hurts after year one and year two. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we got to sometimes take a deep breath and let these guys develop at their pace, because, again, playing quarterback in the National Football League, because I think everybody always forget, like, a lot of these guys, if you go in the first round, like, high in the first round, you're most likely, you know, obviously Burrow and Herbert were exceptions, but you're usually going to be like 21, 22. Like Lamar was like 21 when he came in the league. Mm-hmm. I think Kyle was like 21. Like Zach was like 21. These guys come, Trevor, 21, you know, going on to 22. Anthony Richardson just got drafted. I think he just turned 22. Like, imagine, remember yourself at the age of 21, 22, 23.
I don't want to. And I
then,
don't.
And then being in charge of being a face of an entire, $1 billion organization.
Yeah.
Like, that is a hard job physically and mentally. Because I think a lot of...
You can watch the Johnny Manziel documentary.
Exactly. Yeah, you watch that documentary, you understand why he failed. It wasn't because of talent. Like, Johnny could make all the throws. No. He had the athleticism.
He was just going from having all the fun in the world to being an adult.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to legitimately be an adult. Like I know Colin Cowherd has some crazy takes with quarterbacks. But I think the one that's aged the best is your quarterback has to be an adult, right? Like, his questions for guys like Jameis Winston, guys like Baker Mayfield, even to a lesser extent, Cam. He was wrong on Cam, but I could understand where he was coming from. It's because you are the face of an entire organization, and so many people's jobs rely on you being able to do your job, right?
100%.
Because if the quarterback stinks, there's a chance that the GM gets fired, yep. And like the head coach gets fired. What happened in New York with Zach not being good, that's an exception to the rule because they were able to keep their jobs and find a replacement. A lot of guys lose their job if the quarterback doesn't pan out the way that coach needs him to.
He is DJ Bien-Aimé, ESPN. You can catch his work at DJ Bien-Aimé on Twitter as well. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want to talk a little bit more about quarterbacks. This is a nice conversation on the other side. And we're getting to know DJ Bien-Aimé. We have some tough questions for him. We'll talk about it next. Stick around. It's the Paul Galancho.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Texans beat reporter DJ Bien-Aimé from ESPN hanging out with me. In the last segment, we were talking about quarterbacks and the expectations attached to them.
Right.
And obviously, there's a lot of expectations on CJ Stroud's shoulders. And obviously, we don't have much to go off of comparing him to the other rookie quarterbacks, too, to this point. Like, exactly. Only a couple of series.
Right.
Have you gotten a chance to check out the other quarterbacks?
Yeah, I watched Bryce because I wanted to see how he was going to handle a ferocious pass rush. So, obviously, the Panthers, you know, they have, like, their O-line got their tails whooped.
Yeah, he got hit hard twice.
Yeah.
Like, really hard. And I don't know how you feel seeing Bryce Young in an NFL uniform. You know it's Bryce Young, but I don't know if it's just the helmet looking big, or if it's the fact that like he doesn't have any tats, but he looks like a kicker.
Oh my God.
DJ, it's not menace.
Like, he does not look like a kicker.
He looks like a kicker. He just looks size-wise. Well, you're expecting someone bigger than that.
God. He does not look like a kicker.
He does.
He looks like a wide receiver.
Wide receiver. You said wide receiver
or cornerback.
Okay, I see. It's entirely because
from a size standpoint,
he's not wearing any gloves either. It's partly that, but I'm like, damn, like it just. We know how good he is. We saw him play at Alabama. Those two hits made me a little happy. The Texans won the last game of the year.
I think that's the biggest concern with Bryce is just, is he going to be able to hold up for the duration of time? I mean, I think he does all the quarterback stuff really well, from pocket movement to being able to process on the fly. He has a good enough arm. Like, you don't need this rocket arm. Like, he can get the job done. We just have to see if like you're going to build a team similar to how the Saints built their team, where like Drew Brees had a really, really good offensive line around him. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, he was a cyborg mentally. So, like, that worked together. And then with Anthony Richardson, like, you saw all the talent and things of that nature. We threw a pick, but again, you saw the flashes of why he was taking that high. So, I think, again, like, it's preseason. I try not to overanalyze preseason because, again, when I rewatched, you know, CJ's game, like, Bobby wasn't even calling things he was going to call in regular season action from. Because, again, there's so many routes that were mirrored. Like, if there was on the first play, actually, both sides ran, like, the outside receiver ran an out route, and then the inside receiver was a tight end, or the slot ran a hook route. Like, not a hook route, but like a hitch, right? Or like an option route, right? And it's on both sides. So CJ got to pick a side and let it fly in that aspect. And you'll see that throughout preseason because, like, they don't want to give away anything. So, and I understand that. So that's why I try not to take much from preseason.
A text in on the Most Interactive Sports Talk Show in Houston from the 409. And it's about C.J. Stroud. Okay. You've been out there at Texans training camp, especially for these joint practices against the Dolphins the last 2 days. Are you seeing any signs he can and will learn and improve? And I suppose that's a tough question to answer.
Of course. Of course he'll improve. Like, it's impossible to not improve. Even, like, Zach Wilson last year, like, he got benched, whatever, but he was better than he was his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Like these people get better. It's just, do they get reach the point where they can be the like the franchise guy that you want to extend long term
from beginning of camp to now?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, tell me where, like, one thing that you've seen that you think he's gotten better at.
Throwing with anticipation. He's gotten better at that. Obviously, he's still a rookie, so there's gonna be moments where he doesn't have it like that. That throwing with that decisiveness, but he's gotten dramatically better from the beginning to now. Like, he looks like a completely different quarterback from the beginning of camp to now.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
I'm going to play some audio for a second because this guy is my favorite person. Damian Pierce, this is a interaction that he had with members of the Houston sports media.
So I feel like you're being a little more in the passing game.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's why I'm losing weight, man. Still got to run all them rocks.
Scary.
And you helped the Bible earlier in the preseason.
Say, with this thick dog.
How far are you guys in the New Testament yet with some of the end?
Man, listen. Last time I checked, we was on John.
He is my favorite.
Yeah, he's a great quote.
How's he been looking out there? This is his second year. Obviously, we didn't get to see a lot of him down the stretch.
Yeah, no, he looks good. I think what's so much funnier now is that since the Texans last training camp, he was busting a run every single day, right? This year, he's not. But all that told me was he was busting a run every single game, every single practice, because the Texans' run defense was going to be was obviously abysmal. So this year, he doesn't bust as many long runs because he's going against a much better front, right? Because, again, it's not like Damian Pierce wasn't one of the best running backs last year and the Texans don't have a really good offensive line. They do. And you saw how that translated in practice and you saw how it translated in the game last year. So the fact that now he's not having as much success, that lets you know the front's going to be a lot better in terms of stopping the run.
That's good to hear because it was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, no matter what they did, they couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Who's going to be the biggest, I guess, difference on that run-stopping ability for the Texans? Because, you know, Christian Harris has been making a lot of headlines for starting fights, right. Which I love.
Yeah,
Will Anderson's there. we know that they brought in Sheldon Rankins and who's the other guy that they brought in on the defensive tackle side of things?
Hassan Ridgeway.
There we go. Yeah. So we know those guys are there too. And I mean, that by default should help them beef up the defensive line a bit.
I would say a healthy Grenard, Will, and Rankins are going to be the reason why the run defense is a lot better than last year. Because Grenard is a really good run stopper. It's just he wasn't healthy that much last year. And he was kind of like rotate. It was weird. There was a lot of rotation on the defensive line. And then again, you have Sheldon Rankins, who's like a proven veteran quality starter who can make a lot of things happen. So, yeah, I think regardless, you know, when you add those three pieces and you have more depth, because, again, people get hurt. Like, that's like, shoot. Teron Armstead went down yesterday at practice. Jalen Ramsey got hurt at practice during camp. I mean, Blake Cashman was doing great, and now he's nursing a hamstring injury. Like, injuries are going to happen. Like, no team is going to be completely healthy throughout the year. And that's why the teams that usually make a deep run in the playoffs are usually the more healthy ones. Like, Kansas City is pretty healthy. The Eagles are pretty healthy. And sometimes you just need those breaks. So, yeah, I would say that now the Texans D-line has depth. So when guys do eventually get hurt, like, say Grenard gets hurt again or Will gets hurt, now you can insert Jerry Hughes into that spot and there won't be a dramatic drop-off.
Okay. Well, I like hearing that. One last thing before we get to know you in the next segment. Okay. So if you've been listening to our podcast or following DJ's work, right, DJ has loved what he's seen out of the Texans secondary.
Absolutely.
To this point, whether Absolutely. It's Derek Stingley, Steven Nelson's who's having a great camp, Jalen Petrie, Jimmy Ward now a part of it. And we know what the offensive line is for this team. a lot of money invested into it. Between those two, what have you liked more?
Oh, I've loved the secondary more. One, you know, I have an agenda with my dog, Mike Dugard, at the Athletic. We
Seattle.
Both think of Seattle. Shout out to Mike. He just had a baby, by the way.
Okay.
But, well, he didn't have the baby. His fiance had the baby.
Oh, I was like about to say, like, yeah. Damn, he's breaking ground.
I think Mike is talented enough to possibly pull that off if he wanted to. No, I'm playing. But I think that secondary is going to be phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I obviously, you know, during joint practices, Tyreek had. Nobody can guard Tyreek. It is what it is, right? But when Tyreek was off the field, like, it's not like the Dolphins don't have respectable and proven receivers, right? Chosen was out there. That's who Jalen Petrie essentially caught a pick on. Granted, he wasn't guarding Chosen.
Chosen, formerly Robbie Anderson?
Robbie Anderson. He wasn't necessarily guarding him, but he was able to beeline to where Tua was trying to throw the ball to, intercept to take it back to the house. Obviously, Steven Nelson's played extremely well. And then back to the Dolphins. Braxton Berrios is a respected.
He's really good. Yeah.
He's a respect.
I mean, what, for number four? As number four wide receiver?
He's a respected wide receiver in the NFL.
You just hating.
He's a respected receiver in the NFL. So my point is, you know, Tua still had weapons that he could go through, and there were portions of the time where, like, especially during a two-minute drill, where guys were locked up and he had to keep checking it down to Raheem Mostert. So that lets me know that if the Texans secondary is going against a receiving core that doesn't have dynamic weapons, good luck.
Okay. No Jalen Waddle out there, so that made it a little bit
easier.
Yeah,
of course. But I think, you know, if, let's say, they play week one against the Ravens,
mm-hmm.
like, I expect that to be, because it's Derek Stingley, Jalen Petrie, Steven Nelson, Desmond King, / Tavier Thomas, Jimmy Ward versus Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, Odell, Rashad Bateman. I expect that to be a draw.
Okay.
I expect that to be
a draw. That's a pretty good group.
And then, yeah, and then week two against the Colts, I expect the Texans secondary to give them hell. And then against the Jags in week three, Calvin Ridley, Zay Jones, and Christian Kirk's, I expect that to be a draw. That's how high I am on that secondary. And then obviously against the Steelers, I expect them to – they should win that matchup.
Okay.
I like George Pickens. I like Johnson. But that's how high I am on the Texans secondary.
How high are you on TikTok? Because I got a Braxton Berrios fun fact for you.
My girlfriend uses TikTok. My mom uses TikTok, sadly. Like, she sent me a bunch of TikToks of my
– Your mom sending you TikToks?
Of my cousin, who's legally my sister. Like,
okay.
Yeah, it was – and we were chatting about some of the stuff that she was posting. It was quite hilarious.
Okay. Did you know that Braxton Berrios was dating TikTok star Alex Earl?
No, I did not know that.
Good for him.
I don't pay attention to celebrities.
Oh, I'm DJ. I'm above all that.
No, I'm not above all that. I just don't care.
He's DJ Bien-Aimé. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant, Joe, ESPN, 97.5, 92.5. We got six questions, a six-pack of questions for DJ. Stick around.
ESPN, 97.5.
Leroy Jenkins!
Damn it, Leroy.
Leroy, you were just stupid.
At least I have chicken.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Paul Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. DJ Bien-Aimé, Houston, Texas beat writer for ESPN, in studio with me. Okay, I want to get to know you a little bit better. I want the people to get to know you a little bit better. So we're going to ask you questions every single week. But let's start off with just the first one, and it has to do with the Houston Texans at training camp. Mm-hmm. What one Texan has impressed you the most at camp thus far?
Oh, okay. So the way I'm going based off of who's impressed me is based off what I thought going into camp and then what they've done since, right? So I can't say anybody from the secondary because I already thought they're going to be really good, right? So I have to say it's Christian Harris. Not that I thought Christian Harris was a bummer or anything like that. I thought, you know, he was still a work in progress. But camp, he looks like a legitimate NFL starter.
He was the most fun development of the second half of the year for the Texans, which was very tough to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he had that pick against the Tennessee Titans on Malik Willis to basically ice that game.
Oh,
that cold. That game was so cold. It was so cold that weekend, man. It was so cold. It was like you know it's bad when you open your phone and you check the weather app and you see a single digit number.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I didn't know it got that cold in Nashville.
It was like a cold front. Everybody was done with it. Yeah. So.
Boy. Okay. Number two. So you're from South Florida. Are Dolphins fans real?
What? Absolutely. Okay, so.
Because Miami has a bad rap as a sports town.
So as a sports town, Miami is like Houston. They're fair weather.
Ooh.
So like.
Because, I don't disagree.
You say you disagree?
I don't disagree.
Oh, yeah. Because like, it's. All right. If I live in Houston or Miami, there's so much for me to do. If the team stinks, why am I showing up?
Fair enough.
You feel me? And another thing about the Miami Heat thing, the reason why fans get in there late is because there's like one road to get into the stadium, in the arena. So it's hard to get into the arena and hard to park. Like, if you go to Madison Square Garden, like right outside of MSG, there's like six driving lanes to get right inside the stadium. There's like one for Miami Heat Arena. That's why it's hard for fans to get in.
Oh, a legitimate excuse.
Yeah, like that's a legitimate
it's a choke
excuse.
Point.
Yeah,
like what's the excuse for leaving early before Ray Allen's?
Because it's hard to get. Oh, that's well, listen. So back in 2013, I was watching that game in JUCO with four of my other high school teammates who also came out with me there.
Yeah.
And one of them, Christian Staples, shout out to Christian Staples, he went inside into his dorm. And then me, DeWarren, Jalen, we all ran to his room. Yo, we going to overtime. He was like, what? What? We went out. And obviously, we watched the game. And obviously, you know, it was good times.
Okay. Did you know, DJ, you know the Miami Dolphins fight song, right?
Right.
Put the headphones back on. This is the Miami Dolphins fight song for those who don't know. Honestly, as far as NFL fight songs go, these headphones are terrible. Just bear with us. We're a very professional operation here. This is the Miami Dolphins fight song. Bank.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball.
I mean, I hate
goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
We're in the air. We're on the ground. We're always in control.
Yes, sir.
When we're saying Miami, you're talking Super Bowl. Not really.
Miami.
Do it.
Miami. Miami Dolphins number one.
Okay, so the South Florida's coming out. But here's the problem. Did you know, DJ, that your beloved Dolphins stole this song from Houston the same way the Titans stole the Oilers from Houston?
Look out, football, here we come. Houston Oilers, number one.
It's not the same, though.
Oh, it's the same. Here it comes.
Houston has the Oilers, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
They're stolen, dude.
All right, so
DJ's face right now. He's like, damn, we did steal that. Are you going to apologize for the Miami Dolphins? Oilers are older than the Dolphins. 1960 versus, I don't know when the Dolphins started. I want to say late 60s.
Yes, we're the Houston Oilers.
Okay. He admitted it. Good. That's all we needed. He's very disappointed. Right
very
now.
Disappointed.
It's a great, but I will say the Dolphins made it better. Whatever. They did make it better.
Whatever.
I have a quick story about Dolphins fans for you too. So okay, I feel like that the quiet DJ to my right is an acknowledgement and an apology for the thievery of that song. Do you apologize for the Miami Dolphins fan who back in 2004 at Pro Player Stadium, after I was talking a little bit of trash during a Patriots 13-1 versus Dolphins 1-13 game where the Dolphins won and Tom Brady threw an interception on his ass and I'm still mad about it, the fan threatened to strangle me with my own intestines. Do you apologize for him?
Nope. All that fan was doing was defending the Dolphins' honor.
I love it. All right, question number, I don't know what question this is, whatever.
Yeah, just.
Favorite Miami Dolphin ever. And I if you don't say the right guy, I'm going to be a little annoyed with you. And listen, Sean Mapes already said that Ed Reed is better than Barry Sanders today, as far as number 20s in NFL history.
Ed Reed, he might have something there.
He
might have something there.
That's just South Florida bias.
Nah. Ed was different. But so was Barry. To answer the question, the only one name keeps popping up in my head, but I would say it's the number one is probably Brent Grimes, the cornerback.
Brent Grimes?
Yeah. That was my favorite Dolphin.
Brent Grimes?
Yeah, because as I got older and I started.
His wife's more famous than him.
Yeah. Brent Grimes was special, though. It was just like.
Nico Grimes, right?
Yeah, Nico Grimes. Brent, because, like, that was.
Not Jason Taylor?
No.
What?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but like you gotta remember, I'm 28 years old, so like I started watching.
Fair enough, God, these youths on this show.
I mean, you're like 47. But
oh my God, I'm 34.
Okay, when you hit 34, what's the difference between 34 and 47? No difference. But
I hate you so much right now.
But check it though. So I started watching them in like 04, right? Like when I could like understand what was going on was 04, right?
Okay.
So obviously Jason was great. Like I remember him in 06 where he won Defensive Player of the Year, where he basically, the Dolphins were like, they were winless and then they beat the Chicago Bears because Jason Taylor took over that game. Special player. You know what I'm saying? But you said my favorite, right?
Okay.
So
Brent Grimes.
At that time, I was 12 when 11 when Jason, you know, had that great year, whatever. But when I really could understand football, Brent Grimes, when he got to the Dolphins, was just so special.
Okay.
And I just enjoyed the fact that it was a 5'10 guy that could one-hand intercept Calvin Johnson in the end zone.
That's pretty impressive. Jason Taylor terrorized Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah. No. Jason Taylor was special. I mean, Jason, you know, he's a Hall of Famer, da-da-da-da-da.
But just mean,
who's my favorite?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Now, if you ask me who's the best Dolphin of all time,
you're
Jason
wrong,
Taylor's up
but
there.
Fair enough. Okay.
You know, just, he's up there, you know?
I mean, you know what? As long as you don't say, you know what's funny? My mom hated Dan Marino when I was growing up.
Yeah, he was great.
But my mom hated Dan Marino because he would cuss and they would zoom in on him on television. And she thinks that I learned cusses from Dan Marino.
You probably did.
I definitely did. it's not a probably. What is he saying, Mom? What does the F word mean? Never been glared at more than when my mom. I asked my mom what the F word means. All right, one last question. I came out as identifying from Miami this mm-hmm. week because, I mean, look at this drip.
Oh, God. You just made me vomit.
It's a good shirt. It's a good shirt.
That was disgusting.
Okay, fine. Look, I went to high school in like Western Florida, Gulf Coast Florida. But what's the one thing that everybody in South Florida, the one thing, needs to know? Like what, like if you're from that area, what do you know that nobody else does? I know it's a very big,
loaded question.
Yeah.
That nobody else knows.
You got to pick one. And it can't be like, hey, watch out for gators on the sun, on the little highway that goes across them.
All right, the one that everybody needs to know. All right, boom, 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 boom. So you have Miami-Dade County.
Yep.
So that's encompassing of like my like South Beach, North Miami, Miami Gardens, Homestead, da 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 da. But like South Beach is most South Floridians would not consider that like they consider that Miami, but they don't in the sense that most people from South Florida do not kick it on South Beach.
That's interesting.
Yeah, nah. Because
so it's like, sort of like the French Quarter in New Orleans, I'm guessing.
Yeah, because like you have to, like if you live, let's say in Miami Gardens, right by the Dolphin Stadium, you have to hop on either Turnpike or you have to hop on 826 or 828, and then you have to get onto I-95 eventually and then take that all the way down.
Okay.
Yeah, all the way down. Yeah, and then like head towards Miami Beach and then take that all the way down. Like it's just out of the way. You know what I mean? So, like, most people that live in South Florida don't actually kick it on South Beach.
That is an interesting thing to learn.
Yeah. But I'll say this, though.
Do you like South Beach?
Yeah, but I'm not the guy that's going to be on Twitter like, South Beach is not Miami. Well, I don't care. Like, what? Like, who cares? You feel me? It's not that deep. Like, it's just a location. You feel me? Like, you know, like, there's people that are like, stop saying South Beach is Miami. Well, it kind of is, but like it's in Miami-Dade County, but my South Beach is like its own city in Miami-Dade County. But like, let people have fun. It is what it is. Like when people travel into South Florida and they want to go to Miami and they want to go to South Beach, they're gonna say they went to South Beach and they went to Miami. Like it's okay. Let people have fun.
DJ, this has been fun. See you tomorrow at NRG Stadium. We got
to
talk.
Are you going to the
podcast.
Game?
I'll be there. I'll be there.
Nice.
Finally,
nice.
Yeah, finally showing up for work. I haven't got to practice.
About
the one game.
Finally.
He is DJ Bien-Aimé. Follow him on Twitter at DJ Bien-Aimé for ESPN. Paul Gallant Show. We wrap things up with Garbage Time after this.
97.5 and 92.5. Is it football season yet?
Job! I don't want no job. I want to play football, you a**hole. I want some feeling.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Always a blast hanging out with DJ Bien-Aimé. Next week, Sean, I think we should play It's Football Time in Houston for him, because I don't think he's aware of that song.
Oh, yeah. He probably wouldn't be, because they, right. Yeah, that's very like 2010s Texans. Yeah.
Finding out the Dolphins stole the Oilers fight song. Oh, he's going to be even more mad knowing that that's been the Texans national anthem for 2 decades.
But yeah.
With a canceled band.
He hasn't. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll also grab the Drive Me Smooth. So.
We're doing both. We're going to give him the whole Clay Walker experience.
It occurs to me that he's never covered a big game for the Texans, which is nothing on DJ. Total indictment on the Texans.
No, it's more like it's an indictment on the Texans for DJ. Like, we're glad DJ stayed, but I love DJ. We do that podcast. We're gonna do it a couple of times a week in football season, and he'll be joining me in studio. Fun dude to hang out with. The Astros and Mariners. The series begins tonight. 3 games, and I'm gonna say it a lot. I would say on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday while I'm watching the game, this is going to be a tough series. The Mariners have been playing their ass off of late. I know it's fun to laugh at them and at least publicly puff the chest out. Oh, nice wild card banner. They're playing great. They got the second best record in baseball since that series against the Astros where they took 3 of 4 right before the All-Star break. So we'll see. The good news is, remember when Scott Service said this after the Astros beat the Mariners twice at Minute Maid Park?
You know, this game's a game of inches. They had a few things go their way today, and that happens. We did not. My bet is it'll probably flip when we go to Seattle. But that's just, you have to find a way to grind through that and still, you know, figure out a way to win those games. It didn't happen today, but we have played very good baseball. I do know how hard it is to win on the road, and it'll be very hard for them to win in Seattle. I will tell you that, because I know what it's going to be like when our crowd gets going on Saturday night, or Saturday afternoon, I guess.
To be fair, I mean, it also was Saturday night because the game lasted 12 hours. It was tough. I mean, it took 18 innings for them to get out of it, but this one's at Minute Maid Park. I'm excited for this series, and I'm also excited to watch the Texans preseason game tomorrow. Going to be a very busy weekend in Houston sports. So, it's time for a little something that we call garbage time. I'm only
happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
So, Vanessa Richardson used to be the co-host of the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. We're approaching a year since she left us. A year since she said she was going out for a pack of cigarettes and just never came back. By the way, Vanessa does not smoke, but it's been a while. She's making waves. Rocket sideline reporter. She is doing Astros pre and post from time to time. And at that series in Miami. Good for her getting to go to Miami, by the way. She got hit by a ball and gotta say, she stole the show. This was the first interaction between she, Todd Callis, and Jeff Blum after they showed the replay of her getting hit by a ball and also showed that some Astros, I don't know if he's a player or staff member, but the dude ducked out of the way of the ball the same way that one guy did 10 years ago on the left field line at Minute Maid Park.
Vanessa. Are you okay?
I'm good. Yeah, no, it did. You can see my face there. That hurt. I'm okay, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You love baseball, don't you?
You never forget your first time getting hit with a baseball.
She is funny. I know what you were doing there, Vanessa. I know you. We know you. Your first time is always special. Huh? Getting hit with a baseball? Huh? Well played. The interaction continued after Todd Callis and Jeff Blum mercilessly roasted, I believe his name is Taylor. I don't know what his last name is, for stepping out of the way of the ball. And Vanessa also explained that she has a man cave.
Most of the reporters I know that work in baseball have been hit before, so I'm not overly shocked, but I'm just, you know.
Now you're part of the club.
Part of the club. I feel like I fit in now.
2-2 the count.
Did you get the baseball?
Did I keep the baseball?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, we could have put that on the mantle.
I have a man cave, or I guess it'd be a woman cave because I'm single, but I want to keep it for that. I should try to see if I can find
it.
Yeah,
where did it end up?
We have no idea. Yeah.
I don't know. It might be. Oh, it is! Oh, yay!
Vanessa, on national television, just kidding, on regional television, not only did she say she has not a man cave, a woman cave. What is a woman? But she also announced she's single. And I want everyone to know it would be an absolute shame if you guys heard that on the broadcast or on this radio show right now and tweeted at Vanessa, sup, because she doesn't want that. Yes, she's single, but she would absolutely hate it if you just tweeted sup at her.
Yes. Anyone in the reaches of our voice with a Twitter account, do not.
Don't do it.
Do it. Don't.
Please.
Don't.
Don't do it. Just because she said she's single does not mean slide. And by the way, like, I'm not. Actually don't, you know, do weird stuff. But she'd really hate it if you just said sup. Okay? It's Paul Gallant.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Are Miami people soft?
Thanks for letting DJ leave the premises before
Had to do that. But listen, DJ's from South Florida. It's different. Miami, different story. Joe Shad, you remember him from ESPN?
The name's familiar.
Okay. Joe Shad had a couple of tweets, and I got to say, this is an indictment on South Florida. And vicariously, the state of Florida, a place that I do call home occasionally.
One of your five homes.
I call it home when I'm trying to talk about how athletic I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I use it. And when I talk about how much of a beach snob I am. He tweeted this. The Houston driving experience has surprised me. And I've lived in New York and South Florida. A lot of cars and a lot of cutting cars off. Yeah, you're soft. You're soft. Sorry you can't handle our very intricate, well laid out, sometimes 20 lane highway. That's a you problem. And you always got to keep your head on a swivel. You would think that you would learn that watching Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. Specifically how, you know, he's been decapitated a good 6 or 7 times. And yeah, you know, throw cherry on top of that. You got to be careful driving in Miami in Houston, because you flick somebody off, you might have a gun pulled out on you. You might get driven off the road. He also tweeted this, going up to 104 in Houston today, which would tie a record high. I had to take a knee at practice a couple of times, and I had access to water and shade. You are softer than John McClain.
And air conditioning, yeah.
You have an air-conditioned tent. John was just asking if, like, people could watch the whole practice from it. You had to take a knee? Disrespecting America? At the same time? Come on, Joe, clean it up. And that's going to wrap up the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes. Big thanks to DJ Bien-Aimé. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and look for some YouTube clips of the show later on ESPN Houston and youtube.com/Paul Gallant. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Friday. The Killer Bees are up next. But first, I got to tell you about a brand new friend of mine. Pendleton Whiskey. You ever heard of the Pendleton Roundup? Big thing up in Northwestern Canada that defines what it means to be a cowboy. And it gave life to something equally renowned. Pendleton Whiskey. I had it for the first time this week. It is an awesome Canadian whiskey. It's not too sweet, but it goes down very smooth. I put one rock in it. It's really, really good. And it captures that unique spirit of the Pendleton Roundup and what it means to be a cowboy in every bottle. The enduring legacy of the American and West, made with the finest northern grains and cut with Mount Hood glacier water. Yeah, glacier water. That sounds amazing right now, especially since it's like 5 million degrees outside. A whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. And you've seen me wear a cowboy hat, but now I'm more of a cowboy thanks to Pendleton Whiskey. That's true Western tradition. Pendleton, the official whiskey of the PBR Tour.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?